Okay.
Throw Destiny Bitch off a bridge.
Anyway, hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick.
I'm Ryan.
Welcome to Leica Studios Podcast.
Freeware Game Review number 72, Hydora.
Perfect.
Touch on Dark Souls, because I think we should touch on Dark Souls.
I was thinking about that. I could also think that just next week would be Dark Souls week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then we'll get to play even more. Because, like...
How long do you plan on having that out?
Maybe, like, 2 more days.
Because I'll give you a couple bucks for it if you want to keep going.
I do want to keep going.
I want to keep playing this game.
Well, okay. The only thing I'll say is that after you guys went home last night, I started a new character.
Yeah, spoilers ahead. Okay. Wait, you started a new character. What
I started a new character. A female hunter.
Okay, so you got a bow.
Hunter starts with a bow. And also is way cuter as a girl. Yeah. I mean, until you start the game and you're
a zombie.
But so the stuff that it took us 7 hours to do,
yeah,
I did in 2 hours.
Well, yeah, you had the knowledge this time.
Yeah, which is like a major point of that game is just the knowledge. But I felt so salty because then I was looking at the Fast Karate Forum and see what they've been saying about Dark Souls. And, like, they're all way past us already, so I'm just like, all right, whatever. Somebody posted a speed run.
Oh, yeah.
Of the whole game that's an hour and a half. He did the stuff that I did in 2 hours.
In, like, in 2 minutes?
10 minutes.
Yeah.
He took, like, exactly 3 minutes for the tutorial. And then he didn't pick up his shield.
Yeah.
He's just... The only people he kills are people standing in doorways so he can run through the doorways and continue running past everybody.
All right.
And, like, that's kind of a legit way to do it.
Is he just like, parrying everything? Like,
no, just running past.
No, I mean, like, when he has to kill people, like...
No, he just has... I think he's playing, like, a pyromancer.
Okay.
With just, like, major strength. So he'll just, like... He has the fire axe two-handed, and then just, whack, you guys are gone. See ya.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
But yeah, I think we should talk about that next week when we have more of it under our belt, and then I guess a couple of days to digest or whatever.
Okay.
But on the topic of unforgiving games, this week, we're talking about Hydora.
Hydora is an indie shmup game in the style of...
Gradius, R-Type.
Yeah, your old school scroll-to-the-right shooters. Gradius, R-Type, Darius...
Darius Twin.
Well, I mean, Darius Twin was just one game in the Darius thing. The bombs mostly remind me of Darius.
Okay.
This is by Loco Malito.
Who is our Spanish game-making friend. Maker of such games as Hydora and Virax. It was a game he made while he was sick. You play as a virus sort of blowing up white blood cells.
Oh, jeez.
He was pissed at the virus, and he was like, I want to make a game that's hard where you're the virus.
Fantastic.
And he was also, did you see, I'll have to double check this, but I think he's the one who made that, like, 8-bit Doom. It was, like, this super,
like, Is that, like, one-dimensional Wolfenstein, like...
No, it was like the Wolfenstein style of, like, all, like, you know, square walls, doors, sprite characters, but all the sprites were, like, you know, like Mega Man style sprites, like super low res.
Oh, okay. Weird.
It was like a really quick thing, like, that's not really worth too much discussion, but it's a thing he made and it got a little bit of publicity.
Oh.
So you may know him from that.
Yeah? 8-bit killer.
Yeah, so he's also got this Abbey de Mortes, which is, it looks like
A Bad de Mortes.
I believe you could say inspired by La Mulana. It's got those MSX graphics and very sort of Castlevania inspired, too.
So this guy's got games.
Yeah, this dude's pretty cool. And actually, there's not like one good part that sums it up, but the dude just has this like page on his website about his philosophy behind making games, and he's got some good points behind it about, like, he wants, you know, arcade room resurgence, and games are supposed to be short and fun. There's a single difficulty level that you have to get better. There has to be secret stuff. Dude just has, like, everything he thinks about how you should, like, how games should be, I agree with him on. He's just got, like, good ideas.
A very old school mindset.
Yeah. Which is entirely, like, noticeable,
apparent.
Relevant. It is entirely apparent when you go to play Hydora.
Yeah, I believe the game opens telling you that this is a game with an 80s style difficulty.
Yeah.
That you must just deal with.
The thing that I think is most, like, the game is like 10 stages long. You only get to save 3 times.
Well, it's 10 stages long, but you also have multiple paths. So there's like, it's like 14 or 16 stages altogether.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to do all of them. I think they're branching so that you can get to the end however you can. But then there's also, you know, secrets and stuff to pick up. And I don't even know what the secrets do, because you have to get all 6 before you get whatever the secret reward is.
And between levels, you get to pick your main weapon, your secondary thing, and your power weapon, which is kind of like your bomb, except that bombs are a secondary weapon, but, you know, like a bomb. So far, the only ones we've seen are missile and Turry Wall.
Yeah.
If you've played Turrican, you will know what Turry Wall is. It's fantastic. The game is just full of, like, shout-outs to, you know, other games like the Turry Wall and, like, some of your secondary weapons like Scorts, which are escort fighters, like, that are like options.
Yeah,
like the bomb you get initially reminds me so much of Darius. Eventually get like the double bomb that fires up and down.
Or no, I think that may be something else. I know there's probably one weapon that also lets you start firing backwards. Like he's just like, he's basically just hitting all of the notes from these old games.
Yeah, like the first stage opens and it's like the R-type open, where it's like, okay, you're on a black background. Wave comes from up top, wave comes from down below, now go into this cave.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of that opening, like, that voiceover, like, is it, like, it's a zero-wing opening, like, soldiers, you go for, you know what you're doing. I don't even know what he said anymore.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, it's one guy doing it. Oh, and two guys. He does have, like, a friend or something who does all of his music.
Okay. And the music is fantastic.
Yeah. Actually, the dude who makes the music put out a really decent tutorial on making music in PX Tone, which was the tool for making music. I think it was made for the music in Cave Story.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the music in Cave Story used it. I don't know if it was made for it.
I think the dude who made Cave Story also made that program to make the music for Cave Story.
It would make sense, you know, PX Tone, Studio Pixel, Pixel Tone.
Blah. Yeah. But, like, he uses that, and I looked at that, and I basically read over that, like, 3 times, and then made the VS Nitro's music.
Yeah.
So I don't take that as my only recommendation for this, depending on what you think of that music, but the song still gets stuck in my head, and it is, like, the first complete song I can say I've done as a thing that makes notes with multiple instruments.
But we were actually just playing to refresh our memories before we got into this, and, like, the music has this perfect combination of, like, super weird and super frantic.
Yeah.
Like, we were on... what was the name of the level? Do you remember?
The crystal one?
Yeah, it was like, explore this mysterious island.
Yeah.
And then this mysterious island is like floating red crystals. Some of them have faces and spit at you.
Yeah.
It's just like super weird, and you're navigating this maze, and we're just like, what is that suction cup noise? I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then you get to the boss, and the music changes to that boss music, and you're like, oh yeah, okay, I'm hyped. Boss music. Like, it, and yet it's not the, like, it's not like an 8-bit chiptone kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, it sounds really good, and just, it, but it, again, it's sort of that thematic, like, this is an old school shooter. This is, here's the kind of music this game would have, and it's good. But, and it's good, like, in the context of this game, and not just sort of, like, it's good music from that era, but it is good and tailored for this game. Like, again, because it's so weird. But then also there's the levels where you're, you know, either just flying through space or you're going through caverns. The game is a lot of going through caverns.
Yeah.
And, but, like, it's always fitting. It always seems right in place. And there's a lot of sort of variance. Like, because the game has, you know, weird crystal stages, but it also has, like, you know, the first level where it says there's ground below, there's a dude walking on it, and you pick him up, and he's a secret, but it's also just,
oh,
like...
Oh, dude, spoilers!
It's okay, there's five more. That's the tolerance levels.
One of them is a jumpy sunflower. Get dude, on it!
Spoilers!
I didn't even see you pick that thing up. Like, I have no idea where that thing was.
Yeah. It's in a cave somewhere. The game actually really does, like, the sort of secrets is a really heavy, not like heavy influence, but it's something you see a lot in the game in a couple of different ways, because there's the secret items you pick up, like the dude and the flower and the whatever else there is.
Yeah.
But then there's also, you know, certain, like, really tight pathways will give you bonus points for going through that path instead of going through, like, the main part of the screen.
Yep.
There are certain, you know, like, power-ups that are just in a really tricky position to get, but those are always, like, the extra ship power-ups.
Yeah, like, race ahead against the scroll of the level. Don't run into this wall right in front of you. Get out before it scrolls over and catches you in it. That sort of thing.
There's one level that's got a whole bunch of elevators on it, and it's one of those ones where, you know, there's clearly, like, you take the elevator up here, but if you follow the elevator a bit longer, there's a secret spot that you need to get to, but then fight the level scrolling to get back.
Elevator action?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
It's one of the levels we didn't look at.
Okay.
Like, I played a lot of this game at one point in my life, and I didn't get more than halfway through it.
Yeah.
In a sense, kind of just because I'm scared to go further because it is so hard. Like, but it's hard in that memorization way that all those old games were.
Yeah.
Like, once you know where enemies appear, what secrets are really, or, like, what power-ups are really important to get, sort of the pattern to get stuff in, what weapons to use on what stages, then you kind of get it, and it's just, it goes back down to being about just dodging bullets.
Mm.
But sometimes, like, sometimes the dodging bullets is hard, but sometimes just if you don't have the right, like, it's cool that if you don't have the best weapon for a stage, you're definitely not precluded from being able to beat it.
Yeah.
But
you're just going to have a pain in the ass time.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it makes you stronger.
Yeah.
Builds character. And then you can...
You work the double shift so that the single shift doesn't seem so bad anymore.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of, like... Especially because there's a lot of split-second choices with the power-ups. Because there's only, like, two, three power-ups.
Power-ups come in two forms, and each one splits between two colors. That'll either, like, upgrade your primary weapon or your secondary weapon. And then you can either get more speed... Or your power weapon.
And, like, those are all really good options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, speed especially is super important. Because, like, when you die and you lose your power-ups and you're like, oh, I'm back down to zero speed.
Now you're boned.
Now I'm boned.
And, I mean, like, that's, you know, that's part of the thing. Because the game is about don't die.
Yeah.
I mean, because I save, I just loaded up. I had six lives. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure how I did that. I think it's because I played the first level so much, I could do the first three levels without dying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's where you're supposed to get with these games. And that's where this game demands that you get to. And you know what? That's cool.
Yeah, like this...
I mean, like, going back to the topic of, you know, a simple system that just gets really complex the more you go, one really bonkers thing, that's kind of what this is.
Yeah, it's like... The bonkers thing. Don't die. We are going to make it increasingly difficult to not die.
Yeah.
God, this game is just, like, super refreshing and nostalgic for me. Because, like, I had Darius Twin on the SNES.
Yeah.
I played the shit out of that game as a kid. And, like, you know, games of that style are not, like, really made anymore. Except for by indies like this.
Yeah. Which... And even then, not too many indies. Like,
yeah.
Partly because...
Shooters are an archaic style of video game.
Not even that. Like, I think shooter is still... You can make a shooter because it's sort of very pure. It's about you are a dude, you can attack them, they will try to attack you. It is about, you know, attack and defense, and you know, that goes way back to chess, man.
When's the last time that you saw, like...
Jamestown?
I was going to say, like, a big budget company... put out a side-scrolling shooter.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, because when you talk about, like...
I guess it was Cave, like Donpachi and stuff on
Death Smiles and
360.
Stuff like that.
Yeah,
but even
okay.
then, that's in
but
your...
But that's super niche.
Yeah, no, that's getting into your really bullet hell thing. Because that's the thing, this isn't, like,
This isn't bullet hell. It's a classic shooter.
Yeah, you have to dodge walls, not just... And that's the thing. The actual dodging bullet part isn't all that hard. Unless you panic and freak and dodge away from one bullet into two bullets, then, you're pretty much good. But sometimes it's more about just positioning yourself, knowing where the enemies are coming, and, I'm going to be here, so you shoot here, and then I will not be here.
Yeah, a lot of it is just good streaming. Get them to target this area, then don't be in it.
But there's no time where they're just, I'm just going to cover the world with bullets. You figure out where not to be.
Yeah.
Which is good in it.
Not a lot of sprays. It's a lot of aimed shots.
Yeah. A lot of aimed shots. And then there's some dudes who don't shoot at all.
Yeah.
Some dudes escorting power-up ships.
And there's some dudes that pop out of inverted waterfalls in the ceiling, and then I get super greedy trying to kill them for some reason, and they have a shotgun blast when you get too close.
Yep. And the bosses in this game.
Oh, the bosses are so sweet.
Like that first boss who is like an asteroid, with wavy
tentacles.
Arms.
Yeah.
Like, he's mad good. There's like an asteroid who, or not an asteroid, there's a boss who is sort of like a space bulldozer, and you just have to wail on his shield for a while.
The guy with the big face.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a dude who's like some sort of rock dragon, I think.
And then there was the boss on the crystal level, which barely shoots at you, but you has these double concentric circles of crystals orbiting around him that you have to shoot through.
Yeah.
And you have to lead him around to create openings because he will just constantly move towards you.
Yeah. But going back to about why big budget games don't make this, it's that frustration level.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there are people who really love these games, which, hopefully the people listening either are those kind of people or will tell those kind of people about us or at least this game. And those people will love these kind of games. But it's not what, big budget companies are like, well, we're a big company. We need money to survive, so we better make something that'll sell. To sell to more people, you make something that you can get through.
And I think it's just that this style of game just might be reliant on the arcade structure that isn't around anymore.
Maybe. Well, I mean, it's weird because, in a sense, arcade games were meant to also be a moneymaker. Keep feeding quarters into it.
It's going to be super hard so that you, keep dropping quarters into it.
Yeah. But at the same time, this
or
game...
just attain fucking mastery, kid.
Yeah. That's the thing. This is a game that definitely uses that structure. But since it's, not coin-fed, it doesn't, it's not relying on that. And yet I still feel like it works. Maybe that's because you just have lives and there's no continues as well as lives. Whenever I see that, I'm like, why did you do that? Why is there that extra layer? And maybe it's because there's a buffer where, you lose a life, but you don't lose all your power when you lose a life or something like that. But at the same time, this one is just very, you have three lives. When you die, if you didn't save, start over. By the way, only three saves.
I'm thinking back when we were playing Mario ROM hacks. When you run out of lives in Mario, you say continue, and then nothing changes.
Yeah. and you don't get that these days.
Huh?
You look at, any of the games. Even you look at Dark Souls, there's no, solid game over. There's definitely very punishing, but there's no solid game over. It's just sort of you died, you have to start from right over here. But it's never,
We deleted your save.
Steel Battalion.
Yeah, I'd play a hardcore Dark Souls mode. Why not?
Yeah. We'd play hardcore Minecraft now. You can do that.
God, that's...
That still seems dumb to me, but that's another topic. But yeah, even Steel... there's definitely something there about, the brutality of it. Of delete your save, start from the beginning, do all of this. Something like Steel Battalion can be really bad just because... each one of those missions takes so long, and you only have the one life.
Yeah.
When you only have one life, that's super rough.
And especially because, even if you do make it out, you still have mechs on the line. And when you run out of mechs, you lose.
You don't lose. You do lose.
Yeah, you are
it's way saltier if you just are left there not able to afford a robot, but it doesn't give you a game over. That would make you feel so salty.
Yeah. I forget if you're just, drummed out or just, summarily executed.
No, I think you're just sort of drummed out.
Okay.
Kid? I know we have some sort of robot war going on, and we probably need all hands on deck. We got bombed during your training. But, get out. You fucking suck, kid.
You cost us, 12 robots. And I know you paid for them yourself, but how the fuck does this military even work?
But the whole point of this frustration thing is, I'm not sure how to sell it. Like, because it's a really good game.
This game will offer you the catharsis of finally beating that stage.
But I don't...
It will also offer you the despair of dying, like, 50 times.
But that's not, like, a good argument.
Do you like these things?
That's the thing. Like, the only way you would really like this is if you like these things. But I don't know how you get somebody to like these things. I think it's just... It's like your upraising. Like, your parents have to do something
upraising?
Very...
Upbringing?
Uprising? Mark Echo's Uprising?
Whoa!
It's just like there's something that has to happen to you in your childhood. You have to have, like, a NES and one game only, and then you'll like this game. But like, if you're somebody who... Like, you had a SNES and, like, three games...
I don't know, I had Darius Twin... But also, like, Final Fantasy and shit. And I just had a bunch of R-Type ROMs.
Yeah. But that's, like, the thing. Like I don't know if there's anybody who's, like, growing up now who will like this game in the future.
I don't know.
Because they're not growing up with, like... Cause I still remember, you know, we were at the arcade the other day. We still kind of have fond memories of that.
Yeah.
There's, like, that's the only arcade left around here. Actually...
You could go to the bowling alley in Chester. I think they've got a pump it up machine.
Actually... I want to go to the castle. I actually want to go... Like, I haven't been
there...
Oh,
yeah, Castle's got the arcade.
Castle's got the arcade? Castle's got go-karts. I really want to go go-karting for some reason. Like, so badly. And I was thinking about that the other day. I haven't been there since they opened their underfloor track.
What? They have, like, a basement track?
Yeah, you know when you drive by how they built that huge new building?
Yeah.
But how it's up on stilts? It's up on stilts because, like, in between the stilts is another go-kart track.
Oh, damn.
According to Jesse, it's a slick track for drifting. But also that's so that...
Drifting go-karts.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
But it's also so that when it rains, they can still offer go-karts.
Oh, right.
Because it's indoors, but it's still open air.
Yeah.
I love gazebos.
Man. A while back, Blip TV took, Sean Plott go-karting.
Yeah.
He broke his foot.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He went through the barrier and crushed his foot.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember there's one go-kart track up in Leeds somewhere. It was, like, the most... Like, all of the bumpers around the side of the tracks were just big metal plates in front of tires.
Yeah.
And,
that's what it was.
I did one race. I saw, like, three kids spin out. Ugh. I don't know if one of them flipped over, but I dodged and weaved. That was an exciting go-kart experience. All the 12-year-olds just bursting into flames.
Yeah, that's a problem. Like, we'd go to do go-karts, and then it'd just be, like, a bunch of middle schoolers and, like, you know, 220-something nerds.
Well, that's why we gotta get, like, 820-something nerds.
Okay.
Okay.
And we'll go to that trampoline place. And jump on the trampolines.
We get full grid. I'll do trampolines. Yeah, they also have, like, a roller rink.
Oh, God.
But, okay.
I went roller rinking once. It was fun.
So here's the other thing. Like, they're trying to make go-karts and stuff safer and making the playground safer. And they're making the game safer. This is a game from a not-safe era. This is like if somebody built a metal jungle gym on top of concrete these days.
This is the video game equivalent of...
Like, you can super enjoy it. You may crack your skull.
Yeah, this is like the video game equivalent of gravel under the monkey bars.
Yeah. But that's the thing, like...
I split my head open on that gravel one time, got 3 stitches.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't fucking fall off the monkey bars like some sort of...
I think I just jumped off a slide and face-planted the ground.
Oh.
I thought it was a good idea. I was in elementary school.
Oh, okay.
I have vivid memories of running to the nurse's office with blood down my eye.
Ugh. See, I went the other way. I went to the 2-story jungle gym and climbed up the outside of it.
Okay.
And then I got up there and I was like, what's up? Because they were hanging out up there having a tea party or something. I don't know. What do you do in jungle gyms?
You climb up them.
God, climbing is fun. Do you like some frozen ropes or something?
Girls to climb up them and then look up?
That was a thing in emergency situation, disaster report. That's what that game was called.
The one where it's like earthquakes and shit?
The one where it's a man-made island and then it starts earthquaking and just sinking and you have to escape with the reporter.
Yeah.
There's one part where it's like, okay, we have to go up this ladder. Decide who goes first, you or the girl in the skirt. And it's like, well, how about... And it's weird because like neither one is really a good answer. Because if she goes first, then she'll be mad at you because you can look up her skirt. But then if you go first...
She's going head first into possible danger.
Or, like, you're leaving her behind in the sinking island.
Oh.
Like, they're, like... For being, like, a kind of a shit game, that game was pretty good.
Like, that I was liked it. Like, PS2, right?
Yeah, PS2.
Okay.
Rented that from a rental place which is no longer here.
Yeah. What's there now? Is that the subway?
No, that was over at Merchant Square.
Oh, okay.
Where I would get that one from. But Hydora. I don't think... I think there are people who enjoy this. They are now older. I just don't know how you could introduce this to somebody new.
This is a game from an earlier era. If you like this sort of thing, go check it out. It is very good. If you don't like this sort of thing, check it out anyway. Fuck you. The music's really good.
I mean, that is the thing. Like, like this game, like it is like a current game. It's sort of retro theme, but it is a classic game. So it does, you know, it does have certain sensibilities. Like, you get saves at all.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's very clear about a lot of things about, because like, you know, there's a red power up next to your secondary weapon thing, and you see where all these things line up, and it's not, it doesn't like obscure anything. Everything is very clear. It's just hard.
Yeah. And it still has that old attitude, because like, yes, you get saves, you get three.
Yeah.
Like, what game limits your saves?
Yeah, like,
Hydora and...
I'm not even sure. It's just so rough. But since it, like, well, I'm just saying, like this isn't even like an intro game to these kind of games. Like, I want to say, you know, it is because it has these modern sensibilities, and so like, we know we're getting a better sense of what made these games good and bad and frustrating and all of that. But at the same time, it's just like even coming into this cold, like, not really a fan of these games, it's kind of just like, you could get maybe two stages and then drop it.
Yeah.
But then again, you could get that two stages where I don't know if you could get more than one stage on, like, actual ones from the period.
Yeah, I don't know.
This game's really good.
This game is really good.
If you like these, check this out already.
It's Loco Malito. He has many other games up there as well. I mean, we'll have links to it in the schnotes.
Right. I'll put links to this in the show notes. The show notes are found at... Are we really ready for the wrap-up? It doesn't feel like long enough.
Honestly, like, I don't think we can drag this out much longer. Like, it, you know, it's a side-scrolling shooter. It's a very simple concept. I don't think we need to, like, beat it to death.
It's just a really good piece of the form. All right. Put links in the show notes. Show notes can be found at elitecrewstudios.net/podcast. If you have any feedback about what we say, anything you would like to hear from us, questions or comments, send it to podcast@elitecrewstudios.net. That is the email address.
You can also find us on Facebook, in the iTunes Music Store, on the Zune Marketplace.
You can find us on Twitter, @Eliku. That is a very good way to get in touch with us.
Yes.
If you check out the website, we got comics, we got stuff going up, and I believe that's it.
Thank you for listening. You're all beautiful. Have a wonderful day. I guess this is a pretty good time to fill in that neither of us speak Spanish, so we're not really... Whoa, what'd you do? We're not really sure what Loco Malito is, but just from language, I'm pretty sure it's like the crazy bad thing. The crazy little bad thing. Little crazy bad. I don't know. Hi there.